This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got them right where we want them.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what is up? Happy Friday.
Hello.
It is a good Friday. A divisional Friday.
Divisional Friday. Football.
It's football.
It's
the Pac-12. Wait, it's not the Pac-12.
Well, Potter reminded me that it's not only football this weekend, but we have Ozark Season 4 firing up beginning tonight. Did you know that?
I can't lie. I'm over Ozark. It lost me in the towards the end of the second season, and I never, I haven't even watched the third.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It lost me when the hillbilly folk, like, that's the worst Mexican drug cartel of all time. They have no teeth. It was just a bunch of candy asses. So I just
not watched season three then.
Well, no, I haven't because season two was ridiculous. Mm.
Well, season two
sucked. Admit it.
No, I thought it was good. I think the whole show's good, but it's a little bit of the same thing over and over, which is like all these shows. Like Yellowstone is the same way, but I like it, and I'm ready for season four, which I think I don't know if the first. So it's season four of Ozark, and that's the one with Jason Bateman.
Yeah. About the the drug trade and the
well, they're money launderers.
Yes,
they're a beautiful, lovely family of money launderers
in the Midwest.
Criminals. They're in the Ozarks.
Yeah,
and I think they said that season four is 14 epis, but they're going to release them seven at a time. So I don't know if seven come out tonight tomorrow.
That would be my guess.
If just the first one.
Now, most of the time now when they release these, if they're doing it like in they'll still be allowed to be binged, but they just do them in pockets.
Yeah, so, and they said the other seven will come out later in 2022. So
that makes sense.
Not only football, we have Ozark, which is great because we were just talking as we left the show last night. John, your brother, and myself, both in streaming ruts, don't really know what to start up next.
Yeah.
Have some options, but not fired up about any of them.
Boy,
and now it's going to be Ozark.
And this may say something about me, but boy, I struggle when shows slow down and they kind of get clunky. I struggle sticking with it. Like, I know everyone's like, yeah, you got to weather it and it gets better. But man, I give you like 2 to 3 episodes to be rocky, and then chances are I'm gone. Like, had I not invested 7 seasons of Game of Thrones, like if the final season of Game of Thrones had been the 3rd season, I'm out. Halfway through that, I would have been like, you know what? Dark episode, screw you. I'm done. I'm going to go find something else.
I just looked it up for you, by the way. They are releasing all of them tonight.
Yes.
Oh.
Or part 1.
7. Yeah.
So all of part 1 will be released tonight.
Yes. The weekend is going to be great. In between football, 7 episodes of Ozark season 4. That's awesome.
See, and this is kind of where I'm going. Some people are agreeing, and other people's not. It's a split, but right here. Hillbillies kill a high-ranking cartel member, and the cartel does nothing about it. Ridiculous.
That's not true. You quit.
Okay.
You quit watching.
I gave it several episodes
after
that.
I've never seen the
show,
so I can't partake.
Yeah, someone's saying, 100% agree, quit in season 2. So you're saying I need to go back and give...
Oh, I don't care what you do. I like the show. Mm-hmm. I think the show's excellent and really... I love Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
it's, you know, it's not without its flaws, but I think I don't watch it. I don't care. I'm not paid by Ozark to tell you to watch it. It's just I think it's good and I can't wait. I just am happy to have something to watch. Although I will say that I went back and had to watch a 3.5 minute YouTube video recap of season 3.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that happening. The only thing I remember is the very, like, there's a real bomb at the end. Yeah. But, and I remember that, but they did the recap. Am I the only one? And I think this is only me because it's a character flaw. Mm-hmm. I can never remember anything that happens in these shows. I have to go back and recap everything.
It depends on how long I've been away from it. But yeah, like with Ray Donovan, you know, they just put out a Ray Donovan movie that kind of wrapped it all up. And I did have to go back and, I had to go back into YouTube. And I did that when I saw the new James Bond movie. I was like, I need to go back. Matrix, same sort of thing. I don't mind a refresher course to kind of get me caught up. And there's usually a YouTube video or a nice little synopsis you can find online. Otherwise, you do go into watching. You're like, wait, why is that?
Yeah,
where'd that one guy go?
It also depends how many shows you've watched in between. Like, you know, if you're have watched like one or two other shows, you're probably going to remember what happened last season in Ozark. But if you've watched like 20, there's no way.
Yeah.
That's what I do with books, because I have a weird system where I don't like to read an entire series in order. I like to kind of break them up to make them last longer. So I have to go back and do like full recaps of what happened in a previous book in a series when I get to the next
one.
That
seems very inefficient. Why would you do that?
Because I really like some series and I don't want them to end. So I stretch it out.
I am the other way around. My favorite is when True Detective. What would you call it? Where there's different seasons, but they're...
I like the music I like.
They're contained. Fargo was like this.
American Horror Story is like this.
American Horror Story.
Black Mirror is like that.
Yeah.
Well, every episode's
Every episode's different. But I love when you give me 10 episodes. 10, 11 episodes, because I think it is a real struggle for any show to keep a narrative going for multiple seasons. You run out of things. So like Yellowstone, right, was really good. And now I'm to the point where how many times can someone get murdered? How many times can someone try to take over your stupid ranch? It's like it's getting ridiculous. Like
there's
how many
a difference between people who create shows with multiple season stories and those who make one season and then get told make more.
Yes.
That's right.
That's the big problem.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why Breaking Bad was so great, because he created that to be six seasons.
Yeah. And there's a beginning and there's an end. Yes. There's a definitive point. It doesn't feel like you're just stretching it out just to put more episodes.
Whereas Lost struggled because Lost after three seasons completely went all over the place because they didn't plan to make more than that.
So I just prefer where everything's a little bit neat and tidy, where it's wrapped up.
You like
up
movie.
And,
well, you're a movie guy.
I'm a movie guy.
You're a movie guy. And I'm more of a long form show guy.
And so
like
I love
character development. And
I do like the show development. I just like them to do it in 10 or 11 episodes.
Sometimes there are, I think some shows ruin it for other shows where they just drag it on and then you get pissed off.
Anthology series. That's what that is. Because you get an entire season. I think that's what happened in Yellowstone, where nothing really happens for like seven episodes.
But it is but there's a lot of
character development.
And so that's what they're doing, which I think is nice to have that luxury while in
you
movies.
You just need a little bit more action, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think in movies, you know, they got to get it in. By the way, I watched a movie last night.
Did you really?
I don't often watch movies.
There's an upset.
Well, the only thing that got me to watch this was Leonardo DiCaprio is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that movie called Don't Look Up.
Fantastic.
It was really good.
And yet at the same time, it's really depressing because you realize that it's satire about where we're at right now with the political landscape.
Yeah, but it's perfect.
But then you realize that it's really not that far from the truth.
No, but it's funny.
It's great.
It's good. That is a recommend. I don't often recommend movies. I'm not a big movie guy, but Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio, which is on Netflix.
Oh, it's got everyone. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill, Meryl Streep.
Great. Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. It's
great cast.
Dude, it's amazing.
It's worth a watch.
Who is it? Cate Blanchett and Tyler Perry as the
TV duo.
They're Laura Ingraham and like a Sean Hannity type.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They're good.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. Oh, and you know what else? I got more TV news, you guys.
I have a TV recommend that I forgot to drop in the show yesterday.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to let you go.
No, fire away.
For those of you who are similar to me in like fantasy and like sci-fi.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Time series, season one, is fully out on Amazon Prime and is amazing.
Yeah, people have been talking about that.
What's it called again?
Wheel of Time.
And that's
based
that's
on a really long book series by Robert Jordan.
All right.
And it's the first season's basically around the first book. And I thought it was really well done.
Does it give me the violence and nudity that I demand from my television shows?
Violence, yes. Nudity.
A little bit, I
guess. Yeah, there was some
right.
nudity, yeah.
That's all I'm asking for is just, yep. You know what? Pepper it in a little bit.
You pervert.
Just sprinkle it around.
There's definitely violence. Yes, there is some nudity. And
sprinkled.
Yeah, it's well done. Like, for those of you who watched The Witcher and thought, like, yeah, it was pretty good. This is better than The Witcher.
Oh, man.
So.
Somebody just said... Thank you for that recommendation, Mike. Somebody said recommended Snowfall, and there's a new season of that coming out. And I've told you about that show. That's
yes.
the one about the drugs in L.A. in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good show, and I guess they have a new season coming out in February on that one. That'll be on Hulu.
Oh.
Snowfall. But, hey, guess what? More TV news. Sunday night. So Ozark is coming tonight, mm-hmm. season four. Another series that's pretty good and a lot of people watched is kicking off a new season on Sunday, and that is Billions.
Yeah, now Billions is great.
Billions.
Billions is six? And that is held.
Is back on Sunday.
Billions
is good. But it's the
good.
Same thing.
It is, but it has held my attention a little bit better. But yes, I would like that to wrap it up.
Yeah, well.
Wrap it up.
That one. So it's going to be, it's just a great weekend, guys. Yeah. And gals.
A lot going on.
Yeah. TV. And by the way, all of that 12 minutes of television talk there.
Yeah.
To avoid talking about the deaths of Meatloaf and Louis Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah.
They both died.
Boy, I'll tell you what, our
both of them.
Our Deadpool, man, we were way off.
Not really. Robert Durst died.
That is true. Durst was on there, but Meatloaf?
I didn't have him.
I kind of forgot about Meatloaf.
Dude, I thought he was dead.
I thought
he died a long time ago because you know who I confused him with?
What?
Sam Kinison.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last thing I remember Meatloaf doing, besides Ma, the Meatloaf, is he was in Fight Club. His name is Robert Paulson. And Fight Club had to be like 20 years ago. I don't know what he's been doing since. He looked... Well...
What?
He wasn't very healthy.
Did he die of COVID?
No.
They said he had COVID recently.
Really?
Yeah. Louis Anderson had cancer.
Yes.
And Louis was much younger. Louis was in his 60s. Meatloaf was in his 70s.
Now, he was 74. The one I saw yesterday, now I have not seen if they've updated this, they did not mention COVID yesterday when I saw the, or maybe it was this morning when I saw it. But
well, it doesn't matter. It's not going to bring him back.
It may have been updated.
I got to be honest with you. I don't have much of an appreciation for Meatloaf. But I do of Louis. Louis was a great guy.
Yeah, Louis was
great.
He's
very funny.
Yeah.
And the Las Vegas lore about Louis is that he was in an LA card room one night and he was a big gambler, Louis. And he lost $80,000 in a card room in LA. So he rented a car and drove to Vegas. And he took out a $2,000 marker at Bally's, mm-hmm. won $110,000, tipped the dealer $20,000. Mm-hmm. Drove back, got up the next morning at 7 a.m. to film a commercial.
My man, Louis.
That was Louis Anderson. And he was greatness.
And the last thing I remember Louis Anderson, remember he was on that celebrity diving show?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I just remember Louis in that weird one-piece suit. Just his little weeble wobble body just Peter Panning off of the high dive.
Just me or... Our celebrities kicking at a much higher rate than in the past. Doesn't it feel like that?
Oh, I think they come in bunches. You know,
we're in a bunch of them.
What do they say? You know, deaths come in threes.
Well, we had two today. Who's the third?
We had one not too long ago, didn't we?
I don't know.
Because we had Durst.
You had Saget.
Yeah, there you go.
Saget passed.
Yeah, Saget. And that was just a week or two ago. So that would probably be the third.
Hey, let's get to going here.
Let's get to going.
We have Joe Harrington today, 5:30. We'll talk about divisional weekend and playoffs. And that's where we start with our poll question too, okay? Big transfer portal news again today.
Yes.
That we will get to.
Free agency rolls on.
Yeah, one Pac-12 team is cleaning up in free agency.
But I love it when a fan base gets all butthurt when one of theirs leaves. but they're happy to take seven from other schools. Welcome to the world of the transfer portal. Make them a better offer.
All right, it is 316 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Video Only.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know what's weird before we get to our poll question?
Meatloaf?
No, I just looked up and I see another headline. We're watching ESPN in here.
Uh-huh.
The headline reads, Jim Harbaugh could attract interest from teams with head coaching vacancy. How many effing stories have there been about that are non-definitive about Jim Harbaugh just being maybe a candidate somewhere over the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, the one that was circulating for the last like 2 weeks is sources at Michigan believe that if he's offered the job,
he would take it. The Raiders.
He'd be interested.
But like they have nothing definitive on Jim Harbaugh, but somehow the media just seems to want to push that Jim Harbaugh is like this big candidate for all these jobs.
24-hour news cycle, bud. Yeah.
You also don't really hear that he's interviewing for anything.
No, haven't heard a peep other than he could have interest. And
Jim Harbaugh gets people fired up. So let's talk about him.
Well, and now the new one is that Josh McCown, right? That the Texans want Josh McCown, but they don't want to admit that they want Josh McCown.
Well, they don't want the backlash that will come with hiring Josh McCown.
So the Texans are actively trying to get Josh McCown other interviews. So it doesn't look like the Texans just went rogue.
But that's at least tangible news, if true. The Harbaugh thing, it's like, they speculate about a coach more?
The Brett Favre non-news cycle, man.
God.
It's a news story that it's about a news story
that they want to have happen.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Because it would be interesting for them if it did happen.
Hey, here's our poll question today.
And by the way, it is confirmed Meatloaf did die of COVID.
He did?
Yes.
And he did not get vaccinated. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Well, so they don't know. He was very outspoken about vaccine mandates and the like, but it says on here that we do not know if he actually was vaccinated. It's just that people are taking some of his comments about vaccine mandates and making that assumption, but we do not know. But he did die suddenly. The illness came on very quickly. It was COVID and you know, that's ultimately what took his life.
Here is our poll question today. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Poll question can be found at 1080thefan.com. Pick an upset. Bengals over the Titans, Niners over the Packers, Rams over the Bucks, or Bills over Kansas City. Vote. And the only thing that we ask you to do when you do vote is please, for the love of Pete, vote hard.
I'm still going to take Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking too.
I've just, and the fact that we all feel that way.
I like my Bills.
Yeah, the Bills are going to get good, the Bills are going to get blown out now, but
they are not.
I do. I like Buffalo. In fact, it feels like Buffalo to me is, and I whoever wins this game, I think is the representative in the AFC in the Super Bowl, but I just feel like Buffalo, like they did it the quote right way, but right, they built the team that was good, and then they had a liability at quarterback in Josh Allen for 2 years who wasn't very good. And they built him a very good surrounding team. And then Allen popped, right? And all of a sudden it was like, holy crap, the Bills are good. And they took their lumps in the playoffs as he kind of grew and matured. And then they find a run game, and the defense last year had a bit of a slump, and now it's back, and you're peaking at the right time, and you're pretty healthy. It just kind of feels like you took your lumps and now you're ready to kind of claim the throne.
Playoffs.
There in Buffalo.
On the Allen front, I was thinking about him today in relation to like Justin Herbert. And,
yeah.
You know, Tom Brady was this way, but his story is a little bit different. And what I'm thinking of is, and even Patrick Mahomes, I guess. Yeah, I was thinking about some of these elite quarterbacks and how they played in college, mm-hmm. you know? And do you think that, because those guys are elite. Everybody I just mentioned is elite, right?
Yes.
Obviously, Tom Brady, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. And then I was thinking about their college careers. Is it an indictment on college coaches that these guys who are elite NFL guys really weren't great in college? Or is it just that everybody develops? I mean, they're too young, yeah. and everybody develops at a different sort of rate.
I don't.
I mean, can you hold it on the, maybe not the college coaches, but the college game?
Yeah, I think there's an element of that.
Because
that you
Josh
could,
Allen, I remember that game. They played him. Remember the Ducks played him.
He wasn't good.
He was awful.
But to be fair, he played at a place in Wyoming, and I only watched Josh Allen play in college. I think 3 or 4 times, and I only watched him when he was playing against Division One, like better Power Five teams, right? I didn't watch him play in the Mountain West, and every time I watched Josh Allen play, it was never impressive. But you also have to realize that he was playing basically 1-on-11. He was playing far superior teams.
True.
Right? And so is it fair to judge him based on that? But when I watched him, he wasn't accurate. He didn't go through progressions. He bailed from the pocket. I think you learn a lot of bad habits playing on bad football teams and having to rely on just being a big, strong guy and run around. And what did he look like in the first 2 years in Buffalo? That's people forget. Josh Allen was bad.
I'm going to go look at his stats.
He was a bad NFL quarterback that could not throw the ball, and he made horrible decisions. And all of a sudden, like I think it was the third year, And by all accounts, he put in an S ton of work and worked with, who's the old BYU quarterback? Is it Max Hall that runs that quarterback camp? It's one of the crappy BYU quarterbacks that runs like this quarterback camp out in California that all these guys go to. And he worked his ass off and learned how to actually play the position and not just be an athlete running around, and he popped. So I don't think it's as simple to say that you can blame coaches. I just think that, what do they say in life? Not everyone's starting line is the same.
Yeah,
I think a guy Josh Allen started way behind.
But what about Burrow? See, like Herbert, too. Well, okay, so let me stick to Burrow. Burrow for a while was like this, but then, boom, he goes to LSU.
Had a decent.
And he's the greatest thing ever.
But remember, he went to LSU and he had a so-so year.
He did?
Yes.
I only remember him for 1 year at LSU.
No, he went to LSU and it was like, it was
okay. Really? Okay.
It was okay.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. And then the second year, it was on.
And that may be, maybe credit to Joe Brady.
And that's where a lot of people went. And the fact that, he had Jamar Chase, he had Jordan Jefferson, he had the Randy Moss's kid at tight end, he had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had a ridiculous staff around him and a very bright mind in Joe Brady. And then, you know, it turned out that Joe Burrow was a diamond in the rough that popped.
Well, and Herbert was very, small town kid, shy. Yeah. You know, it took him a while to grow and develop.
And I don't think that they did him any favors with the system he played in. I don't think they did him any favors, obviously, with the weapons that he had around him. And I don't think they ever let him spread his wings. I think he was a guy whose development, I just think it was stunted, right? Like when you watched him play, I feel like he played with shackles on. And some of that is probably the talent around him. Some of that was in Cristobal's system. Some of that was they didn't want him to get hurt. And once those chains came off, you saw him. You saw him hit the ground running and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It didn't take him 3 years like it took Josh Allen. I mean, it was go time. But he wasn't a guy that coming in had all this hype and pomp and circumstance around him. And Burrow flamed out at Ohio State and he couldn't get on the field there. I mean, it's
very interesting.
Growth and development of these guys.
Yeah, they're just young.
They're young and it's fit, it's system. And I always say this like in spring practice. I can't tell you how many times I saw a guy and I thought he was absolute dog, you know what. For 2 years, you're like, dude, that kid sucks and will never play. And then you go to spring practice one day and all of a sudden you're like, hey, who the hell is that? And you're like, oh, that's Jefferson. You're like, what's he doing? Like, you can't block him.
He's been working.
Or he catches everything. And the light just goes off. The game slows down. Well, that too. Believe I saw that happen a time
HGH,
or two.
HGH, baby.
And all of a sudden, it just, you're a different player. So it's really hard to say that, you know, that there's one thing that determines all of these guys. I think it's talent, work ethic, coaching, scheme, opportunity. And when all of those things come together right, you can get greatness. And when it happens, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Quick follow up. Jordan Palmer of Carson Palmer fame was the quarterback coach that worked with Josh Allen.
Oh, I thought it was the BYU kid, but
Jordan Palmer.
I stand corrected. I knew it was a failed quarterback.
Jordan Palmer. Somebody else texts. Someone said this when talking about why they missed on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Is they just didn't realize how many of his mistakes or flaws in college were just a product of him having to do everything or too much for them to try to win.
Yeah.
Could have been similar with Allen in college. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes was not really on anyone's radar. Remember that? Kansas City, Andy Reid came out of nowhere and picked him.
Yeah, they moved him up into the teens, and when they did, everyone scratched their heads.
They're like, what?
But everyone said, boy, if Andy Reid is moving up to take this kid, they're like, look out. And then remember, Andy Reid had the balls to move on after a year, get rid of Alex Smith, and promote Pat Mahomes. And everyone was like, why would you get rid of a Pro Bowl quarterback? Andy knew what he had.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Andy Reid retires, and I'm an NFL GM, I'm calling him and having him scour the quarterbacks in the draft and just picking his brain on what he likes.
Yes.
Because, dude, he found Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have been drafted, but he hitched his wagon to Mahomes when nobody else was willing to.
Yep.
And boy, he's the best quarterback. Well, the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming? Andy Reid saw that coming.
Yes, he did. And it's a ballsy move to move up and take a kid from not an elite program that didn't do a ton in college and was just kind of viewed as another guy.
Yeah. All right. There's your poll question. Coming up next, it just isn't that hard to get kids to USC. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Video Only.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hot quarterback talk there. Got me wondering, what happened with Joe Brady? Where is he now? Do you know?
I don't think he's anywhere.
Really?
Well, no. I mean, he was fired mid-season, so... I mean, I haven't seen his name resurface.
You'd think he'd be a hot item. With the college coaching changes and the coordinator changes.
He wants to stay in the NFL. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be a college guy.
That's, he doesn't.
That's abundantly clear. So he'll probably resurface somewhere in the NFL, but you probably got to wait until the offseason when all that stuff is figured out. I mean, we have all these head coaching positions that are still open. You're not going to hire an offensive coordinator, a passing game coordinator without hiring a head coach. Yeah, so
I guess that's true. Did you see who is replacing Joe Brady in Carolina as offensive coordinator?
I don't think I did.
A blast from the past.
Who we got?
The great Ben McAdoo. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. Ben McAdoo, the old Giants coach.
The old Giants coach.
Yeah, with the hair.
Yes.
He's going to be the Panthers offensive coordinator.
And he was terrible with the Giants.
He was. Right?
But again.
Benched Eli, too.
We've
worse
seen
than Joe Judge?
I bet Judge's record was worse. Although the Giants have stunk. Although I don't feel one bit bad. I see Giant fans that are bitching and moaning. You have two Super Bowls in the last 20 years. Get bent. Like, try being a Washington or a Jet fan now.
Do you care? So McAdoo was only there 2 years.
Yeah, so was Judge.
Did you know he went 11-5?
Oh, see? That's not that bad.
Well, but then he went 2-10.
Yeah. But Judge, I don't think Judge ever won more than by 3 or 4 games.
Who was there before him? Which team did he inherit to go 11-5? Because clearly that wasn't him.
Coughlin? Judge went 6-10 and 4-13.
I'm assuming that he came right after Coughlin. I don't remember.
Yeah,
someone
I think
in
it was
between,
Coughlin.
Right?
Yeah, it was Coughlin.
Yeah.
Coughlin was there a long time.
Yeah, and Coughlin was interesting because, you know, Coughlin was on the verge of being fired both times. In fact, the year the first Super Bowl was the one where they beat the undefeated Patriots. And I think it was the last game of the year they were playing Washington. And if I'm remembering this correctly, I think that was to get into the playoffs. And the prevailing thought out there was that had he lost that game, he's fired. But he won that game. They get into the wild card. Mm-hmm. Eli gets hot. He's got that great NASCAR defense pass rush. And
they won it all.
And they go in and win the whole damn thing and beat the greatest team that would have been considered the greatest team of all time. So, and then he falls off and they were going to can him again and they get hot and they win another Super Bowl like 4 or 5 years later. Coaching is a really, really weird. It's a weird profession because even good ones, Andy Reid, Tom Coughlin, Marty Schottenheimer.
Belichick.
Well, he doesn't get canned.
Oh.
Well, I guess he did.
Yeah, he did. And so did Pete Carroll.
Yeah, but that was like early on in the career, which is you got to be careful about calling a guy a retread. You know, a lot of guys have failed the first time around. I'm just saying, like, you can be a Super Bowl winner, be an established guy, and things kind of fall apart. It doesn't mean that you're not a good coach. It just means that it's winning in the NFL year after year after year in a league that's designed to have parity and rotation. It's really hard to do.
A lot of it's just personnel. Like,
yeah, do you have a quarterback?
I mean, I think Todd Bowles was all right with the Jets, but now he's like king.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, Todd Bowles. Well, look at who he has to work with on his defense. Of course, Todd Bowles looks good.
It does.
I would look good with that defense.
It does help, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not saying he's not bad, but.
Well, it's like Joe Judge. I know that Joe Judge kicks rocks, but he also had.
Right.
You know, he's got Daniel Jones to work with an offensive personnel group that continues to get hurt.
Josh Allen, first two seasons, quarterback rating 76.
Yeah.
Last two seasons, quarterback rating 100.
Dude, I remember when he popped.
That's incredible.
There were guys that were coming out, and I think Jeff Schwartz was one. Matt Miller was another one that said they had never seen a transition like this in year three from a quarterback that they could remember since doing this.
Still threw a lot of picks. He threw more picks this year than I thought he did.
Well, it was a little, like I said.
They were up and down. He threw 15.
It's the number one variance team or the 32nd. It's the worst variance team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're good. Their fastball is the best fastball in the NFL. Yeah.
They were 11-6.
So. But boy, when it doesn't work for them, they can lay eggs like no other team, which is kind of scary because, you know, now you got to do it consistently, but kind of feels like Buffalo may have worked out those kinks and they just got done playing a perfect game.
All right. Now we have to break, damn it. But when we come back.
Were we going
to
do something there?
Yes. Absolutely. We're always going to do something, Jason.
Well, we did that instead.
Award-winning show prep leads us next to the transfer portal usage of the great Lincoln Riley. Because he nabbed a duck today.
Yes, he did.
Saw that.
Or a booster nabbed a duck.
So we're gonna talk about that. And we have another, thanks to one of our listeners on Twitter forwarded this on to us. We've been talking a lot about the innovative coach hires, you know, like Oregon hired a speed coach.
Yeah, we got
a speed director of speed.
Director of speed. We have an even better one now.
Yes, Florida. Wait till you hear that. This is another innovative coaching hire, and it's fantastic, and we'll get to that coming up. So you stay right there. It's 343 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Video Only.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, someone ranked the special teams in the NFL for this season.
Yeah.
And we know how much that matters. And we will tell you where all the teams left rank in special teams. Because we always forget about kicker and...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, kickoff coverage and punt team.
When you get games like this, one play on special teams or field goals, it's a huge deal.
San Francisco's special teams tried to screw it up in that Dallas game.
Yes, they did.
So we'll get to that. Another innovative coaching hire. But Travis Dye of the Ducks, running back, he has transferred.
Yes.
We knew that, and he was in the portal. Today he has announced that he has chosen USC.
And I think this is now the 11th transfer portal commit that Lincoln Riley has secured.
11?
11.
God.
They are the biggest beneficiary of the transfer portal. And Dye, like 24/7 ranks guys that enter the portal just like you would recruits.
Aren't there like 900 guys in that thing?
There's a lot. So Dye was the third best available running back this offseason and the 21st best player. Because they give him
really?
Yeah, they don't give him like a 3-star. They give him like a quarterback rating, like 1 to 100. And I think Dye was like... I just saw this today. I want to say he was like a 91, 92. So, yeah, they put him as the third best back, 21st best overall player. It's a good get. It's a good get for USC. You know, he's not a world beater, right? But he's a guy that carried an Oregon offense when CJ Verdell went down.
And they all loved him there, right?
Yes.
Like, and he's a good leader.
He's the ultimate professional. He's not the best back in the world. I do think he leaves a lot of meat on the bone because he's more of just a...
Well, he's small.
He's small, but he just... He runs... he's north and south. And a lot of times, and this was kind of my bugaboo with both him and CJ, is even when they played with that elite offensive line, I would always say, just please be patient. There's cutbacks there. You can make guys miss. You don't have to just put your head down and go. And that's being nitpicky because they're both great put your head down and go guys. Now, CJ's got a different gear and he's a better back. And so that takes nothing away from what you're losing with Dye. It's a loss for Oregon, but I don't think it's like insurmountable.
Well, it's just weird that it's USC, you know. Yeah. It's like,
well, he's from Southern California. He just got married.
Yeah.
And he said that he in his post, he said, look, him and his wife are ready to start their new life together in California.
Yeah.
He's probably not a guy that's going to play in the NFL. He's a marginal prospect. So going back to your roots, Southern Cal, he probably feels like there's a chance he may get buried on this depth chart.
Did you say he just got married?
Yeah, he just got married.
He just got engaged.
Or engaged, but he's going to be married. But if Verdell comes back.
That's what that means.
Cardwell is the next big stud. It appears that everyone thinks that he's going to be the breakout guy. And then you still got like the Sean Dollars of the world. I mean, this is a crowded backfield with a lot of young depth, and he also may feel like there's a chance he gets lost in this shuffle. He's been splitting carries his whole career. He got a chance to be the guy this year and he was fantastic. And maybe he doesn't want to go back to being, you know, a second or even a third fiddle if Cardwell really pops.
Well, he wasn't really the starter at Oregon anyway.
No.
Which is interesting.
He was the starter once CJ got hurt.
It was Verdell.
Yeah.
But, you know, USC, I think just because it's USC that ruffles a lot of feathers, no pun intended,
sure,
of fans. But Dye was super classy in his letter to, you know, to Eugene and the fans and everything. Good dude. And the Dye family, you know, the what was the older brother's name?
Troy and Travis.
Troy was a badass.
Yes.
Is he doing anything in the NFL?
He's a special teams guy for Minnesota.
That's it, huh?
I don't think he plays a bunch. Occasionally I look at his stat sheet, and it's almost exclusively special teams.
Yeah. Well, the Dyes were fun to have at Oregon, and now it's on to USC. And I don't know. I hope he's not getting any vitriol from Duck fans.
I would be bummed if that's the case. And
most fans get it, but you always have the bad apples.
But you take, and this is just the nature of the transfer portal. Oregon takes transfer portal guys all the time, and.
Well, I think it's just USC. It's just that it's like, hey, man, Travis Dye was the guy after Verdell, right, at Oregon.
Yeah.
And he's likely, like you said, they do have some young backs, but.
Yeah, Cardwell will be.
He's coming back. Like, Dye could come back and start at Oregon. It's almost like, hey, what, like, this wasn't good enough for you or something, you know. Yeah. But like you said, that's stupid to think about because he explains he wanted to be closer to home. He just got engaged, and so they want to start their California life.
And is there a chance, too, that USC, like with Jaden Delora. It was a $300,000 transfer to go from Washington State to Arizona. So what if this meant $500,000? What if this meant $250,000 when you're just getting hitched?
Yeah, maybe.
You probably don't have a big NFL future, right? So if there's a chance being a Southern California kid to make a little money here, more so than you did at Oregon, I'm not faulting that for wanting to get a head start on life and maybe cash in.
Is it possible Lanning staff looked at him and kind of went,
It's possible.
Little small.
Possible.
We kind of want to, I mean, I don't know how much film they watch on these guys.
Oh, they
know?
Watch a ton.
The new staff. So they look at these other guys and maybe are a little more intrigued. And then they sit down with Travis and they're like, well, if you're thinking about rolling, maybe you should because, well,
look, he was their best offensive player last year. And I thought he saved their ass when CJ went down. I know the season kind of fell apart, but I really like him. But if I'm being honest, if CJ Verdell is healthy, I think he's the third back at Oregon. Because I think
Dye is.
Yeah. I think CJ's one. I think Cardwell will be 1A. I really do think he's going to be the next one.
Yeah, so maybe Dye saw the writing on the wall then.
So,
and he was benefited from the... Verdell injury, and now he's moving on. They don't play USC this next season.
No, they miss him. Maybe in the...
So you won't see him.
Pac-12 title game, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Lincoln Riley is showing that it isn't that hard to get kids to USC. No. What the hell was Clay Helton doing?
Being a terrible recruiter.
Lincoln Riley's getting everybody, and he's about to get Caleb Williams too, right?
Yeah.
The Oklahoma quarterback?
Sounds like there's a little bit of a bidding war there. I think everyone. I know he visited UCLA. Look, that kid's looking for a hand. Well, he's not looking for a handout. There's rumors that that could be a $2 million sort of land for whoever.
Nice.
Whoever gets in. The price, you know, the price for a starting quarterback, you know, the Bryce Youngs and.
Well, how's he going to do better in L.A., man?
Yeah, there should be.
Plenty of money there for you.
There should be a chunk of change. But, yeah, wherever he lands, if he lands at USC, because the Jackson Dart is gone.
Where'd he go?
He hasn't made up his mind. He's visiting BYU, so.
Oh, wow.
Fingers crossed.
So the last three USC quarterbacks have all transferred.
Yeah.
Daniels, Dart.
Slovis.
And Slovis.
Yeah, they're
Where'd
all...
he end up?
I'm trying to remember where Slovis ended up. I don't remember off the top of my head, but Dart is making the visits. He's moving around. So the idea is
Pitt. Slovis went to Pitt.
The idea is that, you know, Oklahoma lost out on Caleb Williams because of USC, but it is interesting that he hasn't made a decision yet. That kind of leads me, and I've read some stuff that he may be looking for the right deal, which is his prerogative now. I won't fault any one of these kids.
How good is that guy? Is he really good?
He's really good.
Is he the best quarterback in college football? Caleb Williams?
He was one of them, and he was a true freshman last year.
Ooh.
So he's the real deal.
Hey,
he's the real deal.
In other where'd they end up news, where did that kid that he beat out, or the kid that he replaced at
Spencer
Oklahoma?
Rattler.
Yeah, where's he?
South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. Someone also points out that the starting running back at Stanford, the Jones kid, also transferred to USC.
You said that Lincoln Riley has 11 transfers?
Yes.
I don't know them all, but I know that he's gotten the two running backs, Dye and the kid from Stanford.
He got a big receiver from Oklahoma.
He got three receivers, one from Oklahoma, one from Washington, one from Colorado.
Yeah. Jerry Rice's kid.
And he got an all Pac-12 DB, or maybe he's honorable mention all Pac-12 DB from Colorado as well.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I know of.
Yeah. He's
And he's probably going to get Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, there's like a bunch of others that we don't.
Yeah, he's...
I mean, talk about flipping the script in 1 year.
Yeah, look, the
are they good enough to win the Pac-12 now?
I don't know. I don't know if they're good enough. Utah is going to be good.
Yeah.
Oregon's going to be good.
No.
Look, we said this when Lincoln Riley landed in Los Angeles. There were a lot of people like, oh, whatever. Like, what's the hype? Dude, Lincoln Riley is...
He's great.
I know. Like,
what a get.
There was this idea like from some people. They were like, why are you thinking USC is just going to immediately bounce back? Because they just got the outside of Nick Saban, right? They got the hottest coach in college football that was running roughshod over people with Oklahoma talent. And he's about to jump to a place that is arguably the hottest recruiting bed in the country. And he also runs the most exciting offense in the country. And every offensive skill player will want to come play for him. Get ready. There is a storm coming to the Pac-12. And I'm not saying that they win Pete Carroll, you know, six titles in a row and they win national championships and all this crap. But if you think that USC isn't about to be a problem for everyone in the Pac-12, you're burying your head in the sand. Doesn't mean that Oregon can't be competitive. Doesn't mean Washington or Utah or whatever, but he is putting you on notice here that in a short period of time, USC's talent level has flipped overnight, and you know he's going to recruit because he was putting together top five recruiting classes at Oklahoma. The hell do you think he's going to do at USC?
That's why he left.
Yes.
He's looking at that. He's looking at the SEC. He's looking at SEC. The Oklahoma going to the SEC. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Then he looks out west. He's like, dude, I can dominate.
Yeah. He would go as Oklahoma. He would go into the SEC and be, I think Bartu said, and there may be a bump when you get into the SEC, but I think he would go in as the fifth or sixth best, like talent level in the SEC. It was somewhere around there. And he's going to go into the Pac-12 and he'll be one or 1A. It'll be him and Oregon, right? Kind of going back and forth.
No brainer.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that?
All right. We got a run coming up next hour. Special teams matter and another innovative coaching hire. It is 3:59 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.